Hello and welcome to Jilly Bowl, the podcast about that song you know nothing about. I'm Emily.
I'm Jamie.
Each week we will be breaking down a topic from Billy Joel's song We Didn't Start the Fire. We'll take turns being the expert each week as we dive into these topics, people, events, etc. Disclaimer, if you are already a history buff, this is not the podcast for you. If you're a sweet dum-dum like Jamie and I, then you're in the right place. This week's topic is Rocky Marciano. Jamie, did you know anything about Rocky Marciano before this?
No,
I didn't either.
I did not even know who or what he did.
No. Jamie has a dog named Rocky, fun fact.
I do.
He's a tripod.
He's a little tripod, and he's the best dog.
What if Rocky the dog is Rocky Marciano's reincarnation?
Could be. He's a fighter.
He is a fighter.
He's a fighter.
And he has dark hair.
Uh-huh.
Just like Rocky Marciano.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You'll see. We'll post pictures on our Instagram and you'll see what Rocky Marciano likes and what Jamie's dog Rocky looks like.
Side by side comparison.
We'll let you guys do the who wore it best. Who is the true Rocky? Okay. So let's get started. I'm going to start talking about baby Rocky. So Rocky Marciano's birth name was Rocco Francis Marchegiano. I'm so sorry, again, just like Emily butchering some beautiful ethnic names. That's what I do best. He was born in South Brockton, Massachusetts on September 1st, 1923. His parents were named Pierino Marchegiano and Pasqualina Picutio. They were Italian immigrants.
Yeah.
Go immigrants.
Strong names.
Love you.
Yeah.
He has two brothers, Louis and Peter, and he had three sisters, wow. Alice, Conchetta, and Elizabeth.
Conchetta.
So, in their family, three boys, three girls.
Whew.
Just like rolling deep.
Busy.
Busy, busy people. At 18 months, Rocky almost died. Sorry, I should call him Rocco, because like at this point in his life, his name was Rocco.
Yeah.
At 18 months, he almost died of pneumonia.
Oh, buddy.
Like, his parents thought he was going to die, because he was just a little babe.
Yeah, pneumonia is serious.
Pneumonia is serious, especially in the 20s, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's 1924, 25. Yeah, he almost died of pneumonia. But he didn't. He lives... all good.
He's a fighter
already a fighter. He growing up played baseball and football. He made a home gym out of a mail sack that he hung from a tree as a punching bag. So just like I think I'm envisioning like all of this beautiful like Americana nostalgia, like you see this kid with a punching bag hanging from a tree in his yard. He drops out of school at the end of 10th grade. So he finishes 10th grade.
Okay.
So he's educated.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. That's what he feels.
He felt so.
But he starts working. So that's what he does. He doesn't drop out and like run away or anything. He drops out and starts working.
What does he do?
He has a bunch of different jobs. Ooh. He's a chute man on an ice and coal delivery truck. So like imagine like at the back of a truck there's like a chute.
He
loads up big blocks of ice or coal. He's also a ditch digger, a railroad layer, and then he also swept the floors at a shoe factory.
A lot of manual labor.
So he's a young guy. He's 16 or so doing all these jobs.
Make that money.
Right. Making all those dollars as a young guy. In March of 1943, so he's 20, he is drafted into the army.
Oh.
And he does a 2-year term in Wales, where he helps ferry supplies to Normandy. So he's never on the front lines.
Right.
He's not in any kind of combat or battle. He's not trying to, like, downplay his service at all. But this is what he's doing. He's kind of, like, at this point of where they're, like, just shipping and moving supplies. And then in 1946, he finishes his service at Fort Lewis, Washington. So he's in the Army for 3 years. And then he's done.
Yeah.
World War II ends, and he returns home. So yeah, there's some mixed reports on his amateur career. Some say he was 8-4. Others say he was 9-4. Either way, pretty good.
His record.
Right, his record as a amateur boxer.
Oh.
He represented the Army in a boxing tournament and won the 1946 Amateur Forces Boxing Tournament. So, like, right out the gate,
wow,
he's pretty solid.
Wow.
On March 17th, 1947, he went pro for just one event, the Valley Arena Gardens, Holyoke, Massachusetts, and was billed as Rocky Macchiano of Westover Field and won. So they, I don't know, it was not Rocky who decided to spell his name like that. Like, someone else decided to, like, spell his name that way.
Yeah. Maybe it was just, like, how it was pronounced, or...
Probably.
You know, like, or somebody misheard it and then wrote it...
Yeah.
...the way that they thought, and then somebody read they wrote it. They,
spelled it phonetically how it sounded, sure.
Right.
In late March 1947, at age 23, he and some buddies went down to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and they tried out for the Chicago Cubs farm team.
What?
Fun fact...
Did you know that the Cubs won the World Series a couple of years ago?
Oh my god, what?
Yeah.
Tell me all about it.
It was really great.
Jamie is a Cubbies fan. Like, yes. Hardcore, by the way.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs, go.
Go Cubs, go.
Sing it.
No.
So, he tries out for the Chicago Cubs farm team, which were called the Fayetteville Cubs, and he ended up getting cut after 3 weeks.
Oh,
so,
man.
He loved baseball. It was actually, like, probably his preferred sport, maybe even over boxing, was baseball, but he quickly realized, I'm not going to make a career out of this.
Right, right.
So, he returns 1948, about a year later, to his amateur career. And he was beaten by Coley Wallace at the Golden Gloves All-East Championship Tournament. So, that's his amateur career. Like, that's all I could find on it, honestly. There's not a ton of information.
What necessarily, and you may or may not know, but, like, what is the difference? Like, how are, like, you just...
Okay,
not
so...
Not at, like, sponsored... events,
right? So my understanding is like it's a different arena of events, and it's also a qualification. Like, you can qualify.
Oh, okay.
For these types of events, and it's kind of just almost like even a different circuit.
Okay.
Like, you're in the amateur circuit or you're in the professional circuit.
Got it.
And so that's where he. That was when he was amateur, which
got
he was, because I think he also he wanted to be a baseball player.
Right.
And so that's why he wasn't professional.
He liked doing it, but...
Right, he did it, but he also, like, he basically just wanted to do sports. Like, he loved football, he loved boxing, but he really wanted to be a baseball player. And so when that didn't work out, he returned to boxing. His professional career officially started on July 12th of 1948. So at this point, he's 25 years old.
Okay.
He beat Harry Bilzerian. Oh my god, can I just say that one more time? I'm so sorry.
Please.
He beat Harry Bilzerian in his first professional match. He had a handler named Al Weil. W-E-I-L-L. Weil? Weil? And Al suggested he changed his name. Because the announcers couldn't pronounce his name, his last name.
Yeah.
And Al suggested he would go by Rocky Mack. But Rocky said no. He's like, no, that's not my name. That's ridiculous.
It just makes me think of macaroni and cheese.
Also, like, I'm Rocky Mack. Like,
Rocky Mack.
It's the 40s, so maybe that would fly, but Rocky Mac. Yeah, so he's like, no. But he did decide on Rocky Marciano because it still sounded Italian. He's like, I still want to sound Italian, and that name is really close to my, you know, actual name of Marciano. Sorry, guys. How would you say his name?
Marciano? I think the end is Giano.
Marciano. Okay, so sorry, Rocky.
We're figuring
just
it
like
out.
Butchering it left and right. Don't worry. It'll we only have a worse. Podcast about researching these people.
We're doing our best.
So he decides on Rocky Marciano because it still sounds Italian. He beat some other boxers that were notable at the time, Ted Lowry and Phil Moscato. And in early 1950, he beat Carmine Vingo, who was 16-1-0. Okay, so like...
Whoa.
Yeah.
So he was like good.
Pretty great. And basically considered undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a knockout that almost killed him. Like, Rocky almost killed this guy who was undefeated. All right, I'm gonna in this episode, give a lot of boxing records. So there'll be three numbers.
Okay.
And if you're a sports person, like, you're going to... I'm going to sound dumb. But if you're not, this might be helpful.
Right.
I'm going to give three numbers. The first number is the number of wins. The second number is the number of ties. And the third number is the number of losses. So when I say that Carmine Vingo was 16-1-0, it means he won 16 matches professionally. He tied one match, and he lost zero.
Yeah.
So he almost killed this guy. So he good, and Rocky almost kills him. Another notable match was Rocky Marciano versus La Starza, a guy named Roland La Starza, who had a record of 37-0. So undefeated. He has won 37 matches professionally.
Wow.
He is the person who came closest to beating Marciano. Points were different in New York and Massachusetts, where Marciano was from, and did not award an extra point for a knockdown.
Hmm.
And so the ref decided in Marciano's favor, but both were undefeated before this fight. So it was like a really big fight.
Right.
It's like, you're undefeated. You're undefated.
One of these guys are gonna lose.
One of these guys, and like...
Come clearly, watch and see.
Roland is coming in with, like, this incredible career, and Marciano's coming in just, like, this young buck.
Yeah.
And it was probably assumed that he was going to lose.
Oh, I'm sure people lost a lot of money.
All the dollars.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
But he beat him.
Wow.
July 12th, 1951, he fought Rex Lane, who was 34-1-2, and he won by a knockout in the sixth round. On October 27th, 1951, he fought Joe Louis, who was 9 years his senior. And Marciano was a 6.5 to 5 the underdog. So basically, no one thought Marciano was going to win.
Right.
People were like, Joe Louis. Like, no.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Championship fights. So this is like, these are like big fights.
Yeah.
Okay. On September 23rd, 1952, at age 29, he's still a young guy.
Yeah.
He faced the world heavyweight champion, Jersey Joe Walcott.
Woo!
And he won with his signature Susie Q right hook.
Oh.
So Marciano had this signature move, which was a right hook. And it resulted in Walcott being draped over the ring on his knees. And I actually watched some of the footage of this fight.
Ooh.
And it's pretty cool to watch, honestly.
Yeah. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can share it.
We'll find it. We'll share it. We'll post it on our Facebook. Find us at Jelly Bowl Podcast. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All the medias.
Do's it.
So, this was a huge win for him, obviously. And 2006, ESPN poll voted that this was the greatest knockout ever.
Bold.
Right?
That's so a bold statement, Cotton.
Like, if you want to see a good knockout, we have to post this on our page. Like, we'll post it.
I need to see it.
The greatest knockout ever all time was this, when Rocky knocks out Jersey Joe Walcott. Marciano's last title fight was September 21st, 1955 against Archie Moore. And he won, obviously. So, Rocky Marciano retires at the age of 32 on April 27th, 1956 with a career record of 49-0. He retires undefeated. No one else basically had done this.
No.
Undefeated.
Because I feel like you just keep going.
Right.
And why? You said 49?
He, like, age? He's 32 years
no,
old.
No, how many fights?
49.
49.
Yeah.
Like, I would not be able to live with that number. I would have to make it 50.
Being an odd number, you'd be like, I can't.
I can't. And it's, like, so close. I mean, if it was, like, 47, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. But
that's
49,
so
like, one more.
Like, come just on, the one. Rock. Make it even.
Come on, Rock.
Make it even 50, dude. Mm. So, when I was doing my research, I was just like, wait, why did he retire? What's
right.
happening? He's 32 years old, which is not, from what I know, not considered super young, if you think about that. He started it in his early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not old by any means.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, why did he retire? And I did a lot of research trying to find out why he did this, and I couldn't really find anything very conclusive, but there's some rumors.
Mm-hmm.
First one is sweet. He wanted to spend more time with his family, because at this point he's married and has some kids.
Aww,
so he just wanted to be with his family
yeah.
some more. And, like, boxing is a challenging career where you're training and you're, you know, recovering, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
There's also rumor that he had a bad back that he didn't really talk about because, obviously, like, you wouldn't give that tell to your opponents. Like, I have a bad back, so...
Right. Get me in the
punch
back.
Punch me in the kidney or whatever.
Yeah.
Another rumor was that he no longer got along with his manager, Al.
Oh, Al.
Wheel anymore.
Mm.
That they were in disagreements, and he was just like, whatever, I'm done. And the best reason that I found for him retiring was that there was no one worthy left to fight, and he had beaten everyone.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, and with what I looked at, like, there was no one else that was his equal at this time.
Yeah.
And it was just... He's like, I've done this. There's no one else in
right.
this
He won the
arena.
Game.
Yeah, I won.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rocky retires. He considered a return once in 1959. So, just 3 years later when he's like 36 or so.
Okay.
To fight. I get all the names. Why are the episodes I pick the name episodes?
Yeah. You have all the names. What is this one? Do you want me to try it?
Ingemar Johansson.
Killed it.
I think I'm gonna, yeah.
Ingemar
Johansson.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he was 35 years old, but he decided against it after training for a month. He was like, no, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He did appear on the TV show Combat for an episode. I could not find it. Does not mean it does not exist anymore, but I personally could not find it. Listeners, if you can find this episode, please share it with us. I would love to watch. He did host a weekly boxing show starting in 1961, where he was like a commentator.
Oh.
Yes. He also worked as a referee and commentator for both wrestling and boxing. Which is interesting because he never wrestled on a professional or from what I could find, just like any level of wrestling, but he was a commentator.
Hmm.
Sure, why not?
I mean, not, it's ignorant to think that they're a lot of the same, but in my brain, not knowing much about that realm of sports.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, that's not too far of a stretch.
Right. I mean, I guess it's. Yeah, they're definitely not the same sport at all, but if you consider it's, like, one person versus another person...
Right, basics.
...duking it out.
Yeah.
Just, like, different type of fighting. So, sure.
And he was a big name, so it just probably was an honor to be able to have him...
Yeah.
...to do those things.
Yeah. I mean, we have professional athletes that now host, like, talk shows and... dating shows, so it's
yeah.
fine, whatever.
Yeah.
You want to host a wrestling show? Knock
Tell
yourself
me the
out.
News, Michael.
Tell me the news, Michael. I have to stop. I have to stop and talk about this right now, and this is such a tangent.
Tell me.
Okay, so Jamie and I are Bachelor, Bachelorette fans. Yes. And there is a TV show currently on the air called The Proposal.
Yes.
That airs after The Bachelorette. It's hosted by Jesse Palmer.
Oh, that's his name.
Who is a former NFL player.
I knew I recognized him.
And it's just like...
What?
Bonkers, off the wall, buck wild. It's insane. It's like if the Miss America pageant met The Bachelor and everyone did all of the drugs. And that's that show. And it's hosted by Jesse Palmer, which is fine because he hosts like Food Network shows and everything. Yeah. But as I'm watching it, I'm like,
that's your life. You made choices.
Like, you're doing fine. Like, you're going to make a nice dollar off of this or whatever, but also, I guess it's not a stretch for Rocky Marciano to host a wrestling show. Right. If you consider that other people do insane shows.
The Proposal.
Like that. Like The Proposal. Anywho.
It's a trip.
It's a trip. Check it out. Or don't.
Or be
it's
okay. Totally okay. With
it's,
not.
It's so bonkers. All right, let's get back to Rocky.
Rocky Rock.
So he becomes the vice president of a company called Papa Luigi Spaghetti Dens.
Oh my god, I want to go there right now.
I want to go to there. I did a little bit of research into if this was still a restaurant
is
and
it?
Where it is.
Is it?
I can't find any that are
oh
open. And if there are, it's not on the East Mid-Atlantic region where we live.
Oh man.
I know. I'm going to do more research, because if we could go, I would do damage at a Papa Luigi Spaghetti Den.
I need some meatballs.
I just need some good meatballs.
And all the sauce.
Oh, the sauce. So it's based in San Francisco, so I think most of the restaurants were on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And but I also think a lot of them have closed.
It's a shame.
I know. But he was the vice president of that company.
Nice.
So he's just, like, diversifying his whole career. Yeah. Living it up.
Staying true to his heritage with
right,
the Italian.
Which he did. He cared about.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big deal, especially with, like, the whole name change thing that happened early on in his career. Because it probably would have been easier to say, like, whatever, just call me whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But he was
think.
Like, no, I would like to still be known
yeah.
that I'm Italian.
I think it speaks about him.
Yes.
I like it.
I like that, too. In July of 1969, he filmed a fantasy movie.
Oh.
Called The Super Fight, Marciano versus Ali, in which each boxer was sparring and then had a computer simulate each fighter winning. It aired on television.
Oh.
January 20th, 1970. I could not find this film.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dig super deep. I should have. But, so basically, they filmed Rocky Marciano, they filmed Muhammad Ali, like, fighting, and then they somehow, like, computer simulated each of those boxers fighting and winning.
Okay.
Which, like, okay. I can only imagine the graphics.
In the 60s? In
1970.
70.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it aired January 20th, 1970. So, that's bananas.
I didn't even think I knew that computers were around then.
I mean,
that's
I would not
dumb,
have guessed that, like, a computer simulation.
Yeah.
Like, we just in movies now have the technology where you'll see, like, as on our previous episode with Marilyn Monroe, like,
right.
they'll, like, reanimate footage of her for, like, a commercial or something, but it'll look like it's, like, really her.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know about any of that madness. So, we come to Rocky's demise.
Uh-oh. It gets bad?
I mean, he dies.
But
it's
is
sad.
It sad?
Yeah. It's sad.
Is it natural?
No.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. It's supernatural, Jamie.
Which is also Emily's favorite show.
I used to watch that show a whole bunch. Don't make fun of me. Don't at me, internet. I used to watch it a lot. Ugh. Anyway. Okay, so Rocky's sad, sad demise. He is in a plane.
Oh, no.
A Cessna 172.
Oh, those?
Oh, you know, just like that Cessna 172.
Yeah.
We take those all the time.
Yeah. To France.
This is not funny. We're talking about someone's death.
Okay, we're back.
Okay, so, on August 31st, 1969, he is in that small passenger plane of a Cessna 172 heading to Des Moines.
Oh.
And it was nighttime. It was bad weather.
Uh-oh.
All the bad conditions. And the pilot was a man named Glenn Bells. He had a total of 231 hours of flying time, and 35 of them were at night, and he had no instrument rating, which I think is a bad thing. If you're a pilot, you have to have, like, a rating. Basically, he was, like, a novice pilot.
Yeah.
Not experienced. He tried to land the plane at a small airfield just outside of Newton, Iowa, and it did not go well. It ended up hitting a tree about 2 miles short of the runway. Along with Marciano in the plane was another gentleman named Frankie Farrell. He was 28 years old. He was the oldest son of Lou Farrell, who was a former boxer who had known Marciano since childhood.
Oh.
All three were killed on impact. Just, like, a bummer. And the crazy thing is, Marciano was on his way to his friend's son's birthday, mm-hmm. like a party for his friend's son.
Yeah.
But what he didn't know, he was going to give a speech at this, like, kid's birthday be like, it's me, Rocky Marciano, happy birthday, dude, whatever.
Yeah.
But what he didn't know, because it was actually Rocky's eve of his birthday, it was actually going to be also a surprise party, birthday party for him. He died on the way to his surprise birthday party.
That's sad.
Such tragic. So tragic.
Live every day to your fullest.
Every day.
Seriously.
So, what I want you to know about Rocky, besides his boxing career right here, something that's interesting about him as a fighter is he was not, like, the best technical boxer by any means. What he was really famous for was his Susie Q right hook.
Yeah.
And also that he just endured in a fight. Like, he could not be put down. Like, it would be round after round after round. And he would just have this incredible stamina in a fight.
Wow.
That other people didn't. Right. So he would just he would tire his opponent out.
Uh-huh.
And then just, like, lay this knockout punch.
Yeah, he knew when it was ready, and then he'd just be like, boom!
Yeah.
You're done.
Like, he just knew how to do that.
Oh, cool.
So it was pretty
good
cool.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, as I have done before, something I want to talk about, and still am definitely not an expert on, even though this is my episode. Where are those women at?
Where are they at?
So I wanted to know more about female boxers.
Mm, yeah, me too.
And
did you find some?
I did find a few. There's some sisters that were called the Bennett sisters that I found some photographs of in the early 1910s.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I do not know much about them besides that there were these sisters called the Bennett sisters and they would box, but I think it was more of like a show, not like vaudeville, but like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of like a show more than like actual boxing. Cause I realized, I was like, who is the first female boxer? And then I'm like, Emily, you're dumb. In order to be a female boxer, there has to be two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Cause they,
smart.
Yeah. Cause they weren't going to put a female in the ring with a male.
No, of course not.
The first televised match between two women showcased a boxer named Barbara Buttrick. Oh. She's the person that I kept seeing information about, Barbara Buttrick. In 1970, there was a very popular female boxer named Kathy Cat Davis.
Cat the Cat.
Yeah. Kathy Cat Davis, she was on television. She appeared on the cover of Ring magazine, but then there was later some scandal that, like, her matches had been fixed, which is a bummer. Ooh. Womp womp.
Drama.
In the 1980s, there was a little resurgence of female boxing with Dora and Cora Weber, twin Ooh. Sisters. And
what were their names?
Dora and Cora.
Cora and Dora.
Yeah, so literally the same name except for one letter different in the alphabet.
Like just parent win.
They had an older sister named Bora and a younger sister named Eora.
And then there was one just named Laura.
They just have Laura. They just like jumped all the way down. They added some more vowels. Yeah. Laura. Woof.
And then there was Becky.
I tried to find information on Rocky's wife.
Right.
Barbara. Could not find a lot of information about Barbara.
She stayed out of the spotlight.
She did. Oh, but I do have to say, Barbara did pass away 5 years after Rocky died from lung cancer. Sorry, just like more tragedy.
Tragic.
But he had from what I could find, Rocky had a pretty decent life. He loved his family. He loved his parents. He loved his heritage. He followed his dream.
Right. He worked hard for it.
He was the child of immigrants. He had not only in the ring, but just in life, this enduring spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll post pictures on our Facebook and our Instagram of pictures of him. He's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
Like he is. Mm. And there's also some footage you should watch of him fighting. We'll post that knockout we were talking about earlier. It's pretty cool. So that's Rocky. I have a couple fun facts.
Ooh.
We talked about doing this. We can edit this out if we want to. Some of these have to do with this episode, some don't. Okay. So this segment is called, Did You Know?
Did you know?
But did you know, though?
But okay. Did you know?
Jamie.
Yes.
Did you know that hippos can sleep underwater? And they just, their bodies know when to rise, and they breathe, and then they sink back down. But they stay asleep the whole time.
Like, they're not actively doing it.
Yeah. They're, like, asleep. They're unconscious, but their hippo bodies just know when to rise to the surface, take a breath, and then, like, sink back down into the water.
That's amazing.
Because they're mammals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to breathe.
That's what the hippos do.
I feel, like, how do they make their bodies light enough? I feel like a hippo...
They weigh so much.
So much pounds.
Fiona the hippo at the Cincinnati Zoo weighs almost 800 pounds. And she's like a baby. Kind of. She's young. She's like 2-ish.
That's crazy.
There's a lot of controversy over who invented string cheese.
There is.
There is. You did know that.
There is.
Because we've talked about it. But one of the inventors of string cheese apparently was a young person named Leo Castellano Garcia in Mexico, who apparently invented a brand of string cheese at the age of 14.
Amazing.
I don't know how to make cheese. I have a cousin who makes cheese. She has a business. It's
what?
Incredible. It's, I've seen, she does incredible
how
things.
How do we get her cheese?
We could get her cheese. I'll get some this summer.
I want some cheese.
I'll bring it. It's,
please.
It's beautiful. Official cheese of Jelly Bowl Pod.
Yeah.
My last fact, I want you to guess.
Okay.
Okay. It's okay to be wrong, because I had no idea.
Okay.
How many different types of pasta do you think there are? In the world.
In the world.
How many different types?
I think... Oh my gosh. This is hard.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there is... 176.
It's a good guess.
Really?
Better than my initial guess. Estimated, because it's hard to
know
for sure.
I'm sure there's new pastas being invented every day.
Right. We live in the age of innovation.
Yes.
There's approximately 350 different types of pasta.
That's extraordinary.
Right?
And I've probably only had, 50.
I was going to say, maybe I've had, 12. I'm just such a basic pasta.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat these elbow macaronis.
Yes.
These spaghetti.
Give me the bow ties.
Fusilli?
Or capitavi. I really like capitavi.
Yeah.
It's like spiral.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it holds the sauce so good.
Yeah.
Mostaccioli. Mostaccioli. Ravioli. Mm. Shells. Okay. I had a student this year.
Bucatini. They're like thick spaghetti noodles. Like round, oh, yeah. Thick.
Yes. I like them. Oh, so good to bite into. I had a student this year who brought me, her family makes like a homemade stuffed shell recipe, and she brought me
like, the recipe or the actual
food. Yes. She was like, here you go. I made this for all my teachers' stuffed shells. And I was like, child, like, this is what teachers want. Like, we do not want apples. We do not want, like, I love all the Starbucks gift cards I get,
but, like, if you... It better be cut up and served with peanut butter.
It better have, like, caramel and, like, cheese and wine with it. If you're going to bring me an apple.
Yes, the cheese is essential.
Cheese is
essential. And wine. All the wine.
But I had to include that fact because of the Papa Luigi's pasta company.
Yeah.
I wish we could go.
Oh my gosh. We'll look into it.
If you are a listener and you live near or know anything about the Papa Luigi pasta dens, please hit us up. I need to know.
Any restaurant called a den is like.
I had to double check. I was like, is this what it is called? Yeah, pasta den.
Pasta den. Take me to there. It sounds so comfortable. And like you could wear not jeans.
Not. Pants. Take me to your pasta den.
Take me to your pasta den.
so good. All right. This has been Jilly Bowl. I've probably mentioned this before. If we messed up or if we missed something that you're like, oh man, I'm dying to let the world know about this thing about Rocky Marciano.
You missed this, bozo.
You missed this, you bozos? Hit us up.
Tell us about it.
Our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Jilly Bowl Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. I've been Emily.
I've been Jamie.
And I don't think Rocky Marciano started the fire.
No. He was fire.
He was fire. And he made pasta.
He made pasta.
Yum, 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 yum.
With fire.